Once again, we're in the vineyard. Jesus uses this image today to speak to us. The vine signifies the house of Israel, as we heard in our psalm, or God's people. We might understand it today to represent the church. The tenants are the chief priests and the elders, or we might think of them as the clergy today. So God is the landowner. He allocates the governance of the vineyard, the church, to the tenants, the clergy, allowing them to have a hand in the care of the vineyard and its harvest. Now, when the landowner asks for the harvest, the tenants aren't very cooperative, are they? They kill the servants, even going so far as to kill the beloved son of the landowner. Now, considering the parable in its original context when Jesus spoke these words, we can understand that Jesus was telling the religious leaders in his day that they were not allowing God to receive the harvest that he was looking for. The Lord sent numerous servants looking for this harvest. Those would be the prophets in the Old Testament, warning the people of Israel to remain faithful to God, turn away from sin, turn away from evil, turn away from the false gods of other nations. But if we read the Old Testament, we see again and again the people turn away from God. They are led astray. Often, most of the time actually, it's because they are led into this by their leaders. Now we can consider our own current context. What do we see? What is Jesus telling us? Personally, as a priest, I see this as a bit of a commentary on the failure within the clergy in the church. In many ways, we have failed to cherish and protect the vineyard. If the vine is the church and her members, we have failed to nourish the vine and keep it trimmed and healthy. Vast areas of the vineyard are no longer raising up fruit for God's kingdom. The grapes have gone wild, or they've rotted, or they've wilted, or died on the vine. The vine is sick. It's malnourished. It's in disarray. So we're reaping the effects of the confusion, the false teachings, the self-serving, or the downright abuse which clergy have sown in the vineyard. It's painful. It's hurtful. It's sad to see. And I think we all see it. The Lord is doing what he spoke about in the parable, what the religious leaders spoke of. And when he was asking them, he said to them, what will he do? And they say he will lease his vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at the proper times. So we see that renewal is needed in the vineyard. I think there is a renewal that has happened and is happening in the clergy. Many clergy have remained faithful throughout their time, tending the corner of the vineyard that has been entrusted to them over many years in the midst of dysfunction and confusion. But we've all also been aware that there have been some in the past and even in more recent times who have failed or betrayed the church. If they would only been negligent, that would have been bad enough, but they have done evil. Some have harmed the church by teaching errors or have done harm through abusing members of the church. Part of this is due to the bad formation they received, perhaps, in seminary. There was a long time when the seminaries were not very healthy, and there was a lot of confusion there. So that's part of it, I'm sure. Part of it is due to bad screening, right? We know a lot more about psychology and things like that now, or we're more aware of things, so we're trying to do better with that. And part of it is the fact that these priests, these bishops or whoever, like the lady, they grow up in the vineyard, right? So if the vine is sick, the clergy are affected just as much as the laity. There's an interdependence upon the two. And the corruption has reached into the episcopacy, bishops, in the priesthood. It has not been contained or rooted out, and thus it will take a long time to heal its effects. Who will be held responsible when sinners come before the judgment seat of God? Many sins and errors have been condoned or supported or turned a blind eye to by the clergy, even encouraging sometimes. When clergy have turned a blind eye to sins against the foundational moral principles in Scripture and the teachings of the church, we're culpable. We're culpable for that. For the sins of my brother clergymen, I ask your pardon. ask your forgiveness. I know it's been a long road and it's not over yet. So I'm sorry we have often failed you. All the members of the church have a duty and a responsibility to live according to the teachings of the church, which come to us from Christ himself and the apostles. But I can understand how confusing it has been, or is, when erroneous teachings are given, or there's neglect and error, and these have been sown in the church. It does bring and has brought confusion. So now as Christ calls the clergy to renewal, he's also calling the laity to renewal. And we might think to ourselves, well, it's not my fault that I was given false teachings or errors or negligence. You're right. It's not entirely your fault. However, I guess the question is, when you are challenged to respond to the fullness of Christ's teachings, how are we going to respond? If we are resistant or refuse to accept these teachings, Christ's teachings, that will do harm to the body of Christ. By remaining obstinately in our sins or our errors, we multiply the damage that is done. Back to confession. The sacrament of reconciliation. I keep hammering this. I know I'm probably getting tired of it, but here we go again. It's the place where we find freedom. It's through reconciliation that we open the door to renewal, both in the priesthood and in the laity. So I implore you once again to make use of that sacrament whereby Christ offers us the chance to lay aside sins or brokenness, whether they're the past or the present. I want to just touch broadly on a few areas where the church is striving to be renewed today. Each of us must honestly ask the Lord to renew our hearts from any effects of these errors, whether we ourselves have sinned or whether we have been affected by the sins of others. So as I walk through these broad categories, if you feel angry or sadness or guilt or confusion or other strong emotions, consider asking the Lord to reach into your heart to help you surrender whatever it is that causes you this tension or this response in you. And if you can't quite place your finger on it, ask the Lord to help you see where it is, perhaps, that he wants to help you find freedom. So we, the people of God, need to be renewed in our, number one, I would say, in our Sabbath observance, keeping holy Sundays. Secondly, our belief in the real presence, understanding the gift of the Eucharist, and what Christ offers us to sustain us in our journey of faith. Thirdly, I would say, understanding the dignity of the human person, recovering the dignity of each person, seeing each other as persons, not as objects to be used or disposed of. Next, we need to be renewed in our sexual morality, seeing the integrity of the sexual union as a true and in fullest sense, understanding what God created it for. The body's not an object, but a part of a person with an eternal soul. Fifth, Christian service. We need to be renewed in our Christian service that is rooted in an awareness that when I serve another person, I'm meeting Christ and I'm serving Christ. Next, our church needs to be renewed in our protection of human life, understanding the great wrong that we do by taking human life. Seventh, I think another area we need to be renewed is our understanding of contraception and how it affects us, recapturing the nuptial meaning of the body and the language of sexual union, learning how to communicate love in its full sense and not just in use. And finally, recognizing our reality that we have a spiritual warfare around us. The devil is real and he works to undermine us. We are not only dealing with psychological problems, but also with an intelligent and cunning enemy. I think these are some major areas where the church is trying to bring new renewal, where we need to seek renewal. Certainly, probably speaking to the choir here because you're here, but these are things that we need to be attentive to. Jesus wants to bring renewal in the church, so I invite you into that renewal. I need you as a priest. You need it as a Catholic lay person. We need it as a local church in our Diocese of Duluth. We need it in our nation. A return to the fullness of the faith. A rejection of this idea that we can pick and choose parts of Christ's teaching, parts of his body that we accept and others that we reject. We have to believe and respect every aspect of Christ, the whole Christ. If we have neglected any part of Christ's teaching, we need to strive to renew that part of his teaching, to be faithful to Christ in every aspect of the church's life. The longer we remain wrapped up in error or sin, the more pain and suffering we will endure as the body of Christ. Now, this will not be easy. It's not easy to bring renewal, as you know. If you look at history in the church, every time there's renewal, struggle, right? Lots of struggle. It will require each of us to examine ourselves, to ask the Lord to help us follow him. It will require that we willingly allow our hearts and consciences to be purified of anything that is not rooted in the fullness of Christ. And once again, I invite you to receive freedom through the sacrament of reconciliation. If you find that you're resistant to that sacrament, it's probably a sign that there's a great deal of mercy or a great deal of gain that the Lord wants to share with you through that sacrament. So, dear brothers and sisters, let's ask for the docility, the openness to be renewed according to God's wishes. And may the Lord find a rich harvest here in his vineyard.